Howdy, partners. This is Movies On Up discussion episode. Our favorite westerns. Beyond the myth lies America's greatest betrayal. I am Dave. My cowpoke to my left is Ryan.
Howdy, partner.
I don't know a lot of cowboy terms.
I don't know either. You already used howdy, partner. I was like,
And you're not to my left. You're directly across from me. We are Movies On Up. This is our discussion episode where in a minute we'll be going over our favorite westerns. Our tagline for this episode, Beyond the Myth Lies America's Greatest Betrayal. If you know what movie that is from, hit us up on email, moviesonup@gmail.com, on Twitter, @moviesonup, or on Facebook, @facebook.com/moviesonup, or @moviesonup.com. Let us know what that movie is from. If you are correct and we pick you, you will win
something.
A Movies On Up prize package. I was trying to think of another cowboy term, but all I could think of was hokin' pokin'.
You'll win that.
You'll win a hokin' pokin' prize package.
A bonanza.
I don't watch a lot of westerns.
Prize bonanza.
Here's the thing is I don't like westerns really, but when I started going through and picking,
You had a lot, didn't you?
I have about 13 or 14 that I thought were worth mentioning.
This was one of the easiest lists that I think I have ever put together, and I would not consider myself a fan of the western genre.
I'm not either, and I think my top five, I don't think they're really what you would consider traditional westerns.
Uh-oh.
Really? So, but I have some.
Do they have cowpoke?
Yes, lots of cowpoke. But I got some honorable mentions that are. So, I mean, I guess I've never been a fan of traditional westerns, but I can appreciate one, a good one. I can't just sit down and like, oh, western's on. I better hustle up and watch it.
Rustle up some grub.
Yeah. Better get some mama's stew and sit in front of the cow box. I just picture a TV set in the side of a cow. But enough about that. Before we get to our favorite cowboy movies, it's time for... These are the top five Clint Eastwood directed movies that are not westerns. Number five, Mystic River. Number four, Bloodwork. Number three, Million Dollar Baby. Number two, Invictus. I forgot he directed that until today.
Yeah.
And number one, one of my favorite movies, so underrated, A Perfect World, which he also co-starred with Kevin Costner in, which both of those guys may be on our lists as we get into them.
No.
Enough about bonus lists, though. So how many did you come up with?
Five really easily, and then I did not count the honorable mention ones that I had. There's at least... that's three, that's five, seven. I've probably got 10 to 12. I don't know.
I came up with about 15 because I just started thinking.
At some point, I just stopped.
These, I think, are the only westerns I like, though. So I think I got to about 15, but these are the only ones I had to pull from.
So we'll never be able to do, like, a second round of famous westerns because you are literally
going to. I'm going to mention every western
you're gonna
I love right
empty
now.
Empty the six shooter right now.
Yes. Yes.
Both of them.
So enough about how we got our list. Let's now talk about our list. Ryan, your number five favorite Western.
My number five favorite Western is not necessarily a Western. I think it is. IMDb thinks it's an action, adventure, drama. But I'll argue, and I'll make a really good argument when I get to my number two. But for now, it is from 1948, directed by John Huston. It is The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring Humphrey Bogart, Walter Huston, and Tim Holt. Maybe it's not a Western, quote-unquote. It doesn't have cowboys, but it has prospectors, which I think, I tend to think of those two things as being relatively similar, probably because I am not either of those things. You have a group of gold diggers that end up trying to defend this claim that they have from bandits. That seems like a very Western thing, banditos. And themselves somewhere in Mexico. And this is the movie where you get the line, we don't need no stinking badges. And it's where the term bogarting comes from. So for those two things alone, I feel like it belongs on my list here. I don't know what a criteria for Western is. I mean, does it have to take place in the Wild West? I don't think so.
That's where it's interesting because some of mine, I don't know. Like, I consider them Westerns, but... I guess, do they have cowboys? Do they take place in the American West? Not all of mine answer both of those checks. Is there a lot of sand or dirt and horses? Western.
Lawrence of Arabia is a Western.
Yes.
Yes, sand, dirt, horses, guns, check, check, and check.
Yep.
And dark-skinned people that can be, I'm not really sure what. Check. Yeah. All right, so that's my number five. Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
My number five, I'm going down in a blaze of glory again. Young Guns 2. My number five favorite Western. Emilio Estevez returns. Kiefer Sutherland returns. Lou Diamond Phillips returns from the first Young Guns. And we add Christian Slater, of course. We lose Charlie Sheen. We lose the guy. Nobody can remember who he was. And there was somebody else on the first one. I forget.
And you add Bon Jovi to the soundtrack.
Was he the first or the second one? I thought he was the first one.
Well, maybe.
Either way, but William Peterson jumps in as the baddie. Just more adventures of Billy the Kid and Doc Scurlock. It's just fun. Like, they made, like, a young, hip action Western with Young Guns. And this is a typical late 80s sequel where let's just do the same thing. Like, let's follow that formula. And I like Young Guns 2 better.
Fair enough. I mean, it's pretty rare that the sequel is better than the original. I don't know that it's maybe markedly better, where one of them is a 6 and the other is a 10. I mean, I think they're both pretty close.
They're very close.
I probably enjoyed 2 better, but
Dermot Mulroney is the other one. Charlie Sheen, Dermot Mulroney, and Casey Seismasno.
Yeah, that's the one. With respect to Dermot Mulroney, this, you know, we probably should know you over Casey Seismograph.
Yeah.
Spirograph.
Yeah, but Young Guns 2, it's just a lot of fun. Like, there was that run. It kind of kicked off kind of in the early 90s. There was this run of, like, hip, violent Westerns that they tried to blow off. Most of them weren't really that good, but they tried. And that
there were a couple that were really good from the early to mid-90s. Spoiler alert, none of them are on my list.
Okay, then I can mention, like, Quick of the Dead.
Yeah, you can.
The Posse, who had one of the best theme songs. It's the Posse, Shoot 'em Up, Shoot 'em Up. It's the Posse, Bang Bang, Shoot 'em Up. The classic song. So, I mean, there was a lot. Like, it's interesting to look that, like, oh, Young Guns kind of kicked it off. Because the first one was very successful. Second one was pretty successful. So you had...
Let's do what they're doing.
Yeah, and I'm not talking, like, the good Westerns in the 90s. I'm talking, like, the ones that were, like, a hybrid action Western.
And I think Quick and the Dead definitely fits into that. I mean, you had relatively young people in it. Russell Crowe, Leo.
Leo Sharon Stone.
Yeah, she was relatively young at the time. And it was action. It was pretty stylized, too. And it was good. Not good enough to make either of our lists, I'm assuming.
I forgot all about it until I made that point.
It's on my honorable mention list, but I won't mention it honorably later because we've mentioned it in a very special place of honor at, I think, 4.5 on our list collectively.
Collectively.
Would you like to move to number four?
Your number four.
My number four is Django from 1966, directed by, I'm going to brutalize all of these names, so I'm sorry, to Sergio Lorbucci, if you're listening, starring Franco Nero, Jose Badello, and Lordana Nasiak. Most of the good Westerns from, I would say, like, 60s into the 70s came from Italy. Us white people couldn't tell the difference between Mexicans and Italians, so it's really all the same. The Clint Eastwood trilogy, the Man with No Name trilogy, they were all straight out of Milan. That's why they were called spaghetti Westerns, because they were Westerns made almost entirely by Italian directors, Italian actors, with Clint Eastwood, who was the only one that could actually speak English. Everybody else's dialogue in those movies is all dubbed. This movie is dubbed, but it's awful. It's dubbed awfully. So if you can watch it subtitled, much, much better. It's kind of a weird flick. You can see where this would be a movie that would be right up Tarantino's alley. The first time we meet Django, he's dragging a coffin behind him, and he drags the coffin for most of the movie. And it's not really explained why until kind of the end, so I don't want to spoil it for you. It is pretty violent, not as much, obviously, as the modern counterpart. But interestingly enough, both of them feature the KKK. In the original Django, he gets kind of caught between a band of Mexican banditos and the Ku Klux Klan. And you're not really sure if Django, he's probably not a member of the KKK, but you don't know if he's a bandito. You kind of find out that really he's neither. So he's trying to kill everybody. pretty violent, very action heavy, and it is my spaghetti western on my list of top five westerns. Number four, Django.
My number four, one of the most famous westerns, I would think. Even fans of non-Western fans are probably very familiar with this movie. I wouldn't call it a spaghetti Western. If I had to dub it, maybe a chili Western. Blazing Saddles, which that might be on your list later.
That is on my list later.
I figured it would be. Mel Brooks' classic. Just this is 1974, so right when Westerns are a big deal at this time. And he just turns the entire genre on its head and just does a farce of it, pretty much, where the
Cleavon Little.
Yeah, they hire a black sheriff to kind of run the town into the ground, and he does the opposite. He actually turns into a formidable opponent, Slim Pickens, Gene Wilder. It's a classic. Like, it's a really funny movie. Mel Brooks is a legendary genius because of stuff like Blazing Saddles.
And, I mean, the entire movie is about racism and ugly, ugly racism. But it's hilarious. One of the first times you see Cleavon Little after he's been hired as a sheriff, he's trotting up on his horse, and there I forget why the entire town is assembled. Maybe I think they're getting ready to welcome their new sheriff, whom they've never seen before. And the way that the line is delivered is so funny. But it contains one of the most awful words in the English language. But Mel Brooks can get away with it because he's spot on with it.
Because it's clearly a parody. Like, it's clearly satire. And not just of the genre, but about what was... Like, there's a political message there. Like, there's social commentary in this ridiculously hilarious movie. And I love that it's called back in Robin Hood Men in Tights. When they make Dave Chappelle sheriff. So he says, a black sheriff. And Dave Chappelle says, what? I'm black? Because he's blind. Like, I just love that was almost 20 years later. And he just called back on it. And everybody in the theater got that joke. And just so funny. A total classic. I mean, it's hard to think of Westerns without thinking of this one.
It is really good. It did appear higher on my list, but I'll make it my number three.
The tables are turned.
The tables have turned. I think that'll be the last time that we have. It might not be. Probably will be the last time we have any crossover. This was what I was going to use to make the argument on why Treasure of the Sierra Madre is a Western, because they parody that line in the movie when he's giving out badges to other deputies. There's a group of Mexican banditos that... We don't need no stinking badges. So there you go. If Mel Brooks says Treasure of the Sierra Madre is a Western, easy for me to say, then it clearly is. And who am I to argue?
Yeah.
So that's my number three.
That's your number three. So yes. I guess that means my number three.
Yes.
This is where it got interesting, because what does consider what's a Western? Does it have to take place in the American West? Does it have to be about one of our great American Western heroes? If so, I can't count this movie. It is about Australia's cowboy, Ned Kelly, from 2003, starring Heath Ledger as Ned Kelly, co-stars Orlando Bloom, Jeffrey Rush, Naomi Watts. The cast is ridiculous, directed by Gregor Jordan. The movie wasn't as good as it should have been, because Ned Kelly is Australia's like hero. He was an outlaw. He was everything that an American cowboy was. He was everything that...
He's kind of like their version of Robin Hood, but not in medieval times.
In a way, yes. Maybe with a little bit more evil to him. But known for the metal, the pot on his head. And it's a good enough movie. Like, it's a cool story. Ledger's worth watching. Orlando Bloom. Naomi Watts is amazing in this movie. And it's from 2003, so this is really before any of them are... Huge. Like, they've had some success, but Joel Edgerton shows up in it, of course, because it's an
Australian
movie.
And it's on your list.
Yeah, but it's just a good movie. The story could be told better, but I will take this one over the one from, I think, 1970 with Mick Jagger as Ned Kelly. So he's an Irishman that... You know, he's kind of wronged. It's a really cool story. And it does.
And for the most part, it's a true story.
It is. It's for the most part a true story. And they tell most of his story. They tell him what they set up, why he does what he does. Because, yeah, maybe not everything he did was good, but it sets up why. And it's really good. Like I said, it could be a better. I'd like to see a really, really good Ned Kelly movie. But this one's, it's competent. It's really good. And just for the acting is worth watching. So that's Ned Kelly from 2003.
That's your number three. So my number two, which just got upgraded, but I'm okay with it. Really, I would say any of my top three could, I think I could justify moving them around and putting them in any order. But as it turns out, my second favorite Western of all time is from 1969. It is one of the classics of the genre, directed by Sam Peckinpah. It's The Wild Bunch, starring William Holden, Ernest Borgnine, Robert Ryan, amongst others. Kind of like Young Guns, except with old dudes. It's Old Guns. You'll find this one on a bunch of lists, and there's probably a reason for that. It's because it's really good. A lot of times, we don't like to put movies on that are going to be on everybody's list, but I thought with this one, being as old as it is, there's a possibility that people have missed it. And specifically, I wanted to bring it up this week is in our Kick-Ass discussion that we had days ago, the climax of Kick-Ass, the gun battle in that, really, really great. Lots of action. And I started thinking to myself, what are some scenes, you know, that I've seen that are akin to that? The Matrix comes up, you know, the climactic gun battle, and that's really good too. But in The Wild Bunch from 69, this to me, this is kind of like the OG of serious, like, carnage everywhere kind of shootouts. It gets referenced all the time. I think there are people that have probably not seen the movie, aren't very familiar with it at all. You know kind of that idea of wanting to go out like The Wild Bunch. There's a reason for that.
It's a common tool in writing to where sometimes you have to kill a major character so that people will think, oh, maybe they Wild Bunch this. Because Wild Bunch showed that...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'll say it. They all die.
Yes.
Like,
they go out like The Wild Bunch.
Yeah, they go out like The Wild Bunch. And it's so good because what are your Westerns? Your Westerns are built on John Wayne, Audie Murphy, like these Clint Eastwood, these big heroic like characters
that
always
live.
Get away at the end.
For the most part.
Yeah, and so then there's this. It's so well done, and it's so kind of groundbreaking for being a pretty straightforward Western for the most part.
It is and it isn't. I think I know where you're going with the groundbreaking thing, because it's not so much, I mean, they rob a bank. And that happens about halfway through the movie. That's their last job. And then they retire. They're done being kind of the bandits. They're just going to live out the rest of their lives. And you see them not being able to really adjust to that life, that different lifestyle. I mean, their world around them is changed. That lifestyle that they were living is really... It's kind of the end of cowboys and bank robbers. It's not viable anymore. And you see them, they're not viable anymore, but that's all they know. So then, you know, they end up getting drawn back into the life and going out probably as they would prefer.
It's a classic movie. If a movie is being made about the making of the movie, and there is a movie in the works about Sam Peckinpah getting The Wild Bunch made, so that was on my honorable mention. That's one of those that I kind of left off.
You figured it would be on.
I figured it would be on your list, but it's for not being a fan of Westerns. That movie is so good, and like I'm not a classic. I don't watch a lot of stuff that's that old, but that movie is good.
It's really good, and for me, it's 145 minutes long, which is strike two and three in my book. But it doesn't really feel like it drags. And if you can make
it... And it's worth it.
Yes. The payoff for that movie... I mean, yeah, we told you everybody dies. And there's a good chance that you knew that anyway. But you still want to see it. You still need to see it. It's a hell of a fight.
Enough gushing about that. My number two, going to lighten up the tone a little bit. This movie, I love it, but I think...
Is it Rango? I hope it's Rango.
Rango Unchained.
Well done.
It it kind of gets lumped in.
That lizard says the N-word so many times.
There's even the N-word in the script, the actions in the script. It gets lumped in unfairly with Blazing Saddles. Because we're Blazing Saddles, it's more than a Western comedy. It's a farce. It's a spoof, kind of. Silverado was just a Western comedy. It wasn't a farce. It wasn't, you know, it was more subtle than Blazing Saddles. The cast was amazing. I mean, Kevin Klein, Kevin Costner, very, very animated Kevin Costner early in his career. It's 1985. Scott Glenn, Danny Glover, John Cleese, directed by Lawrence Kasdan. It's just a really good movie. For fans of Westerns, it's enough of a Western to get you what you want. For non-fans of a Western, it's enough not a Western. Like it's a nice line between Western and comedy with a good enough story to keep you going. Kasdan's proven over and over again that he's a great director. And this cast, the cast makes it. The cast is so good. And it's just a really fun movie.
I understand your point of not wanting to lump it together with Blazing Saddles and maybe why you put it higher on your list than Blazing Saddles to kind of drive that point home. But I like Blazing Saddles a lot more.
They're different movies, though. Yeah, you're allowed to like one more than the other, but to put them, they're not a coin toss.
They're not the same, no.
Yeah, they're not comparing two other movies that are in the same job. Fuck, I had a really good analogy and I lost it.
Like mules to donkeys. I don't know. That's kind of fits the theme. I don't know. The mule is like when you a horse and a donkey mate.
Yeah, I don't know. I had a really good analogy and I lost it. But they're two different things. The only similarity is that they take place in the Western genre.
Fair enough. I think we'll just get off of that. We'll move on to number ones, right? That's what we got left.
Number one, Cowpoke.
With a Bullet. My favorite Western of all time. Is also one of my favorite movies of all time. I've kind of cooled off on it. I used to absolutely be in love with this movie from 1952, directed by Fred Zimmerman, starring Gary Cooper, Thomas Mitchell, Lloyd Bridges, Grace Kelly, and Lon Chaney. No werewolf makeup or anything, just playing a regular dude. It's High Noon. Another one that appears on a lot of lists for good reason. Gary Cooper won the Oscar for Best Actor in the movie. Wasn't actually at the Oscars, so John Wayne accepted it on his behalf. Another guy who took quite a while to win his Oscar, but he finally did for a Western that was pretty decent, pretty worthy. Maybe it makes the list somewhere as an honorable mention. But this, as much as The Wild Bunch is kind of the, I don't want to say it's an anti-Western, but it's in a different tone because the heroes are bad guys, essentially, and they all die. Whereas usually the man in the white hat is always your sheriff and he always does the honorable thing and he's generally rewarded by not dying. Gary Cooper is the Western. Or is the sheriff in this movie, but he's not the typical Western sheriff. He's kind of your anti-John Wayne. After having just gotten married to Grace Kelly, he finds out that a guy that he put behind bars is coming back to town to kill him. He's escaped. He's going to put a bullet in him. So Gary Cooper does the intelligent thing, but not necessarily the Western thing. He skips town. And then at some point, he sort of has an epiphany and decides he needs to come back and tries to recruit the rest of the town to get together a posse to face this guy who's bringing his own posse of bad guys. And it's just tonally, it's so different than the Western. It's not, there's not a lot of action to it. It's mostly tension and stress. You watch Gary Cooper's character just melt down and absolutely dread when this guy is going to get to town, and you see him frantically trying to get together people whom he's protected for years, don't really have his back, and then you kind of see the resignation as he realizes, I'm going to get gunned down in front of my new bride and the rest of this town, and nobody's going to care. Nobody is going to pull an Aaron Taylor Johnson and help me out. Bunch of jerks. High Noon. Good movie.
If you want an updated version, check out 3 O'Clock High.
it's updated, but if you watch it now, it's an 80s high school flick.
Movie. No, that's one of the classics, though. My number one, not one of the classic Westerns. An argument could be made that it's not a Western. Not a Western. But there's dudes on horses. There's a lot of dirt. It takes place turn of the century, right at the end of the 19th, heading to the 20th, in rural Australia. It is 2005's The Proposition. Guy Pearce, Ray Winstone, John Hurt, Emily Watson, Noah Taylor. It's such a Western premise. Directed by John Hillcoat, written by Nick Cave of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. It's just a really such a Western premise. Like it's straight from those classic movies where these brothers are accused of killing this family. They arrest two of the brothers, but the bad one is loose. So they tell Guy Pearce, go hunt and kill your brother. Go hunt and kill your older brother. We'll spare your younger one and pardon you. And that's it. That's the setup of the plot is that simple, is go kill your older brother to save your younger. It's really slow paced. It is paced like a Western, but it's so good. And Nick Cave is such a good writer, and John Hillcoat is such a sharp director that it just all works together. Guy Pearce in this kind of role, Guy Pearce is good in everything, but in something like this, he's phenomenal. And you put Ray Winstone there as the baddie. It's just such a good movie. Yeah, it's not the American West. They're not cowboys. But you can't watch this and tell me it's not a Western.
It has the same feel. And there were a couple movies that came out of Australia at about that time. You've already mentioned one of them. They were making, and recently, they've been making some really, really good Westerns.
Even Red Hill from a couple years ago isn't a Western. It's a modern-day story, but it feels like a Western. It's set up with that Western storyline where guy breaks out of prison and comes back to the town that sent him there.
High Noon, that's the plot.
It's a Western plot that's delivered in present day, but it feels like a Western, and I absolutely love that movie.
Any other ones that you absolutely love, but just not quite enough to put on your list?
Yeah, the ones that almost made my list are actually more traditional Westerns. Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, that's one of your classics. That's just such a good movie. Of traditional Westerns, that's probably my favorite. I would love to see it updated. Like, I'd love to see, like, a 310 to Yuma style take on that, where it's updated and cuts out a lot of the stuff I don't like. Clint Eastwood's Pale Rider, you know, not his most popular one, Western, because he did so many of them, but I really like that one. My brother watched that a lot growing up, so that was kind of my introduction to Westerns. And then we've barely mentioned John Wayne, The Searchers, which that shows that John Wayne can really act. It's not just, hey, cowboy, shoot him up, partner. Like, there's a lot going on with that character, and he nails it. Like, it shows that he's one of our greatest actors, not just because he could be a cowboy. He's a really talented actor. And then some of your newer ones, 310 to Yuma, Assassination of Jesse James. I really like both of those. Even before then, Tombstone, the first Young Guns. And then one that I kind of wanted in my top five, but I probably could have justified it enough, Westworld.
Brr.
That's a tough one to justify, but I think
part of it is a Western. Yeah. I mean, it's set in Western land. Yeah. I guess that would be okay. I just didn't like it that much.
Yeah, so I left it off.
Yeah, fair enough. You mentioned that neither of us have a John Wayne movie on there. I've got a couple of them that are kind of, I like a lot, just I'm not a huge John Wayne fan, and it seems like you can be a fan of the Western genre, or you can just be a John Wayne fan, and that's why you like Westerns, because he did a ton of them. Stagecoach is real good. It's not real good. It's okay, but it's kind of a classic example. I prefer The Shootist, which is real old John Wayne. His character has cancer, and he's still trying to do the really advanced age gunslinger thing. Obviously, True Grit, which he won his Oscar for. I like both of those. I like the Coen Brothers remake and the original one. I like both 310s to Yuma, or 310 to Yumas, whatever. Both versions of that are really good. we've already mentioned The Quick and the Dead. Tombstone is one that I know people are going to be like, how did you not have Tombstone? Because I feel like everybody's probably seen it. That's why I didn't have it. Unforgiven is another one that I can just see the emails traveling through the ether at this point. The entire Man with No Name trilogy, the Eastwood movies. I guess if I had to pick one of them, probably The Good, Bad, the Ugly is my favorite. But I think they're all really good, and I could probably watch them all back to back to back and be just fine with that. Desperado, I think, is really good.
I forgot all about that one.
Yeah, that's one that's, you know, it's not the American West. It is, you know, kind of your Mexican take on a Western, but it's really good in the action, and it's awesome. And The Magnificent Seven, I like that quite a bit. Didn't make the list.
That's one I didn't put on my list because I thought you would.
Yeah, I toyed with it, but I don't like it that much. I like Seven Samurai, but that's it.
So that's our favorite Westerns and a lot more.
And our Westerns that we've seen and liked.
Yeah, which is pretty much encompasses it all. So that's it for our favorite Western episode, our discussion episode this week. Check out our discussion episode earlier. We did Kick-Ass earlier in the week. But before we go, we're going to give you a bonus watch this, which we always do. So Ryan, tell our listeners a movie to check out starring somebody from the cast of Young Guns.
One of the guys that we couldn't remember that he was in it, Dermot Mulroney. He's been in a lot of stuff. I happen to like very much film noir, movies that feel like film noir. And a little movie from 2007 directed by Mr. David Fincher, Zodiac, feels a lot like a film noir. It's true crime, so I like that too. Dermot Mulroney was in it. He had a decent enough size role. There's a lot of characters that kind of come and go in it, but Robert Downey Jr. I thought's real good as the completely nuts out of his mind drunk newspaper guy, and Gyllenhaal's pretty good too as the cartoonist. I liked him.
Mine, I'm going with Kiefer Sutherland and another like ensemble cast, Flatliners. I love this movie. It's such a good. I just really like this movie.
It was him and Bacon, right?
Bacon, Julia Roberts, Danny Baldwin, Billy Baldwin. One of the Baldwins.
One of the Baldwins, not Alec.
And Oliver Platt. I like that movie. Check it out.
I was checking it out.
So that's it for this week.
William Baldwin.
You can check us out. MoviesOnUp.com, MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, Twitter @MoviesOnUp. Hit us up. Ryan put up a blog post about Sharknado, which I guess I'm being forced to watch Sharknado for next week's episode.
You're being privileged to watch Sharknado for next week.
And for our discussion episode, we'll be talking about our favorite killer animal movies. That'll be fun, because I like killer animals. But yeah, Ryan, you got anything before we go?
Nope, that's it. Just looking forward to tearing into Sharknado.
You can check me out at Dave Bacella on the Twitter. Watch my web series, Juggle Ohio. It's a couple years old, but it's fun. JuggleOhio.com. It's a sitcom about juggalos. Until then, we will see you next week.
Keep it up.